This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت. بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله. أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Him, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, usually when we talk about issues that are affecting the Muslim community, whether they are on a global level or on a national level or at a very local community level, or when we speak about the issues of relevance to our family lives and to our personal lives, we often make many assumptions that we are at a certain place and we're able to accept certain notions and certain facts of life before even moving on to those things. And subhanAllah, it's very sad, but I thought about this a few days ago and I decided to actually give a khutbah about why we shouldn't kill people, essentially. The sanctity of life. And when we talk about the sanctity of life, obviously there are more dimensions to the discussion of hifdh al-nafs, the sanctity of life, than why you shouldn't pull out a gun and kill somebody. There are dimensions of what it means to preserve life and what it means to sanctify life and what it means to view people in certain ways. There are discussions that need to be had that reflect the spectrum by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of it. So a spiritual aspect and also a practical element into our daily lives. So obviously, if there was one take-home message you should take from now, and I'll just say it simply and I'll say it at the end, don't kill anybody. No matter what the circumstances are, in your own personal life, when you find yourself in a situation where things escalate, you don't allow that to escalate to a point in which you take the life of someone else. Now, what that means is, there are legitimate reasons, obviously, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and that's not the discussion that I want to have today. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about this issue, he says to us alayhi salatu wa sallam that the very first thing that a person will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is the crime of adam, the crime of shedding blood. That the greatest crime or the greatest violation of your existence in regards to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, is to associate another partner with Him. And the greatest crime in regards to your interactions with people is murder, is that you actually take into your own hands the liberty of taking the life of someone else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, that Allah has given life to without a legitimate reason. That a person actually puts themselves in that position. And he said alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith that's narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a believer's faith will always be sound, that a mu'min will always be sound in regards to his religion, so long as he doesn't shed blood, as long as he does not get to a point where he spills the blood of someone else. And that shows us that adam, blood, is a red line, and a true red line, right? It is a red line in our religion. that there are things that will take place and transpire between people, but blood is the red line. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterates this in numerous ways. And Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah comments on this in a very comprehensive fashion. He says, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about our relationship with Him, our obligations towards Him, and then the rights of people. And he said that when it comes to a dam, when it comes to murder, it involves the right of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who gave life to that person. And Allah created that person. And Allah dignified that person. And so it involves the right of Allah. And it involves the right of that person, that you took the life of that person. And Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah said, and the extent of that crime, only Allah knows. Why? Because it's bad enough to kill somebody. But let's say that that person, had they lived longer, they might have made tawbah for a certain sin. That's something that's known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah might have given them hidayah, something only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They might have done something good for someone else and you prevented that by killing that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. So the layers of complication here as to what the extent of the crime, the degree of the crime of taking the life of someone else, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. These are things that are completely unseen to us. They involve divine decree and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that we cannot in any way grasp. But listen to the third thing he said. He said that, and it involves the rights of the family members of that person. Think about that. When someone is killed, when someone's life is taken away, it's not just the life of that person. It could be the life of that person's spouse as well. Not physically, but in a figurative sense. That life no longer has meaning for that person. You know, that you have ruined that person's life. You've ruined the lives of the children. You've ruined the lives maybe of the parents. You've ruined the lives of their close friends and their close family members. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And there are physical violations there, and then there are spiritual transgressions. So you might have, you know, a person might have been a breadwinner and their life has been taken away. So financially, you've ruined the life of someone else. Spiritually, morally, mentally, emotionally, you've ruined the right of someone else. So the crime is so comprehensive in that there are so many different parties to think about in this entire thing, that it would be horrific to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sin. And it is the greatest and most grievous of the sins in regards to people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those things seem very obvious. But how serious was this taken in our religion? When you look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you see, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that a woman from the opposing army was killed, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam found a woman who was killed in a battle, though she was not one of the participants of that battle. So she was accompanying the mushrikeen. Presumably her husband was fighting in that battle. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed this woman that was killed in that battle. There are a few things to mention here. Number one, there were believers that were killed in that battle as well. And there were companions that were killed in that battle as well. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not disregard this woman's life because of who she was or where she came from. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, he stopped the entire army. And he demanded an explanation, alayhi salatu wasalam. Who took this woman's life? For what crime was she killed? What, you know, who was it? And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the face of the Prophet ﷺ turned red. And the Messenger ﷺ forbade us. He reiterated the prohibition on the killing of women and children. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates about his father. He says that there was a young boy that was killed in Yemen. And how many people are being killed in Yemen today? A young boy that was killed in Yemen. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, my father was the Khalifa. And he said, when he heard about that young boy that was killed, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, wallahi, if everyone in Sana'a, every single person shared in killing that young boy, then I would kill them all. I would hold them all accountable. Because he was so moved, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by the death of that young child, even though he never saw that child or never met that child. The sanctity of life to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what it meant, that young child's life. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't need a Facebook video. He didn't need to see gruesome images. He didn't need to see limbs falling apart. Umar radiallahu anhu, just knowing that a young child was killed, was moved by that radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and said that I would hold each and every single person accountable. So there is this internal pulse that many of us have lost because of how normal it has become to hear about people being killed, to see murder around us, to see the statistics and to see the numbers, to where we've become so desensitized that we're not even moved by that anymore. And that's a problem. Even if you yourself are not killing anybody, your being desensitized is in a way partaking in that murder, enabling future murders, enabling future casualties, because you don't care. It doesn't move you anymore. Your heart does not feel impacted by the death of children anymore. That's a problem. That shows that we don't, again, sanctify what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctified. Now obviously a person would respond and say, well, that's because there's so much. How much can you keep up with? There is a murder here, there's a murder there, there's a murder in Dallas, there's a murder in Louisiana, there's a murder in, you know, in New York, then globally, right? Hundreds of people in Syria, the Burmese, the people of Palestine, the people of the Central African Republic. You know, how can we keep up with all of this? And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that would be a sign of our times. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, describing the end of times, yakthur al-harj, that there would be an increase in murder, al-harj. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is al-harj? And he said, al-qatl, that there's just so much murder constantly that it's hard to even keep up with. That humanity, though we claim progress, and you think about this, subhanAllah, with all the progress that we've made, look at how far we've regressed. Because we equate the progress of technology with the progress of man, and that's anything but true. That al-harj, that people are killed so frequently, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, I swear by the one in whose hand is in whose hand is my soul, he says, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ زَمَانٌ لَا يَدْرِي الْقَاتِلُ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قَتَلْ وَلَا يَدْرِي الْمَقْتُولُ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قُتِلْ. He said, a time will come when the murderer will not know why he's murdering, and the one who's being killed will not know for what crime he's being killed. It is so easy to take the life of someone else, so easy to murder, that the one who's killing doesn't even consciously think about it anymore. And the one who's being killed has no explanation for why he's being killed. You know, we see people that get shot in road rage incidents, traffic stops. We see people killing pizza delivery men today, right? We see people that kill their children. We see people that kill their spouses over silly altercations. And people are not even consciously thinking about the fact that they're taking a life, that they're actually taking someone's soul. And the one who's being killed probably had no idea that it would escalate to that point. But you can't bring a person back to life. And you know, I guarantee you, a lot of the people that went on to become murderers never thought that they would become murderers. They might have been sitting in khutbas like you, thinking that this is ridiculous. Why is the imam talking about murder? It doesn't make sense. But guess what? In the Muslim community alone, we've had 3 domestic violence murders in Dallas in the last year. They went to Jumu'ah too. Some of them went to Jumu'ah. So a person does not even consciously think about why they're doing what they're doing anymore. And this is, of course, a product or a symptom of ghafla, of heedlessness. And it's the ultimate sign of heedlessness, that a person doesn't even think anymore about things as they're escalating. So the Prophet ﷺ said that time would come where a person would not even know, why am I killing? And the person who's killed has no idea that it would have escalated to that point, and has no idea for what reason they are killed. And they would not have an answer until the day of judgment. So we know sometimes it's over money, sometimes it's over a commodity. And many of the wars that are waged today in the name of freedom and liberation are really economics. It's really about money. It's really about oil. It's really about whatever it may be. All in the name of freedom. But what ends up happening? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a very powerful hadith, subhanallah, that really makes you think, particularly the last part. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith from Abu Huraira, that the earth would vomit its insides. You know, when everything comes out of the earth, all of the secrets of the earth, all of the asrar that it used to conceal, all of the murder, all of the sin, all of the fasad comes out on the day of judgment. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the earth, its insides would come out. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, columns of gold and silver would be laid in front of people. Can you imagine the sight, all the treasures of the earth as well, coming out and being laid in front of the people? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the murderer would come and say, it was for this that I committed murder. It was because of this. He would point to the gold and the silver and say, it was because of this that I committed murder. And the one who broke family ties, how many people don't talk to their family members because of a dispute over a business or a dispute over land? They're willing to sever their relationship with Allah over a piece of land or a little bit of money. And they break ties with their family members. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who broke silatul rahim would come and he would point to the gold and silver and would say, it's for this that I broke my family ties. I can't believe how idiotic I was that I broke my family ties over this. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the thief would come. And he would say, it's for this that I stole. This is what caused me to steal. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. They wouldn't even bother picking it up. Think about that. They killed each other over it. They fought over it. They broke family ties over it. They stole for it. And he says, فَلَا يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. They'd come and they'd point to it and express their remorse and their regret, but it would have such little value that the murderer, the one who broke family ties, and the thief would not even think to pick it up. Think about that. But people kill each other over it. Wars are waged in the name of it. And innocent people die. Why? Over money. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather, this is actually a narration that it might rub some people the wrong way, but let's think about it. This is a narration in Bukhari from Ibn Abi Nu'aym that a man came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, what's the hukum, what's the ruling on killing flies? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, where are you from? He said, from Iraq. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walked away and he said, yas'aluna 'an adh-dhubab. They ask about killing flies. وَقَدْ قَتَلُوا إِبْنَ إِبْنَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had no problem murdering the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That murdering people was not a big deal to them. Right? No, this is not about the people of Iraq, by the way. It was a particular historical context. But that these people came to him and they were from, presumably based on this narration, from the people that killed the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what are they asking about? What's the hukum? What's the ruling on swatting flies? What does that tell you? That when you dehumanize people so much that you could even dehumanize the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you could still be caught up in this delusion that you're still somehow a religious person, where you're even asking about the fiqh of swatting flies. And it's as one of the scholars, the Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah, described the Khawarij. He said they were more concerned about making a mistake in tajweed than they were about murdering people. Like, they could kill people, but don't make a mistake in your tajweed. That they had disconnect, there was such a disconnect between their religion and their humanity that they didn't even connect the two anymore. And that becomes a problem as well. And we have to watch that, right? What are our priorities? Do we really have to go back to the foundations and the fundamentals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us? And he warns and he warns and he warns sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's very powerful because he's telling the Sahaba in a very famous hadith from Abdullah ibn Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he said, takunu fitna. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen, there is going to be lots of fitna, lots of tribulation. He says, fakun fiha abdullah al-maqtool. Be in those days the one who is killed. Do not be al-qatil. Do not be the one who kills. Why is that hadith so important? Number one, the Prophet ﷺ felt it was necessary to warn the people of those times when that threat did not seem imminent. They're in Medina. Things seem to be good. They're under the Prophet ﷺ. what fitna are you talking about? What tribulations are you talking about? What do you, you know, what does this even mean? They were in a time where they seemed safe and secure from those types of things. But the Prophet ﷺ felt it was important to warn them that a time might come where you will be in a situation where you could be al-qatil, you could be the one taking the life of someone else unjustly. This isn't about defending yourself, you can defend yourself. But where people are killing right and left, and you could be in a situation where you could also take the life of someone who's innocent. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when that time comes, be the one who is maqtul, be the one who's killed, don't be the one who's doing the killing. That's how severe the crime of murder is. So if the Messenger ﷺ felt it was important to warn the Sahaba about that, then what about us? I would argue that we have some alarming signs of fitna spreading, of people killing each other in the streets. It already happens to some extent. I would argue that it's also important for us to take that into consideration and to warn ourselves of that time. Now in conclusion, and I want to move now to a very practical level, and I want you to think about this for a moment. Are we guilty in any way of not sanctifying the lives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sanctified? I'll give you an example. You might associate murder only with a gun and with a knife, but your car could also be a weapon. You drive around recklessly, that could also be a weapon. You might not be taking seriously the other people on the road or your own life. You know, there was an uproar when Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala actually gave the fatwa that if a person, you know, is driving and they're driving recklessly and they kill someone as they're speeding and driving recklessly, that person's a murderer. Negligence, that's part of the law here too, right? And a person who drives crazy and recklessly and then they end up losing their own lives, that person could be treated as a suicide. Think about that. So are we guilty of not taking life seriously there? Also recognize that when you are not honoring, you are going down the pathway of dishonoring. How many times, subhanAllah, between spouses, between brothers, between sisters, does it start off as an argument? And it escalates, and it escalates, and it escalates, and you start to belittle. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in that situation of violence. SubhanAllah, how many people? Allah, I'll never forget this. There was a brother that actually hit his wife with a baseball bat. And he was reported, and he was charged for that. And when I went to see that brother in jail, you know what? He started crying, and he said, I never thought I would be a person to do that. Like, I never thought I would reach a position of lowness where I would pick up a bat and hit my wife with it. I never thought that would be me. But subhanAllah, things escalate and you have to watch yourselves early on. Do you have control of your temper? Do you have control of your ghadab? Do you have control of your driving? Are you paying attention to these things? Because these are also forms of sanctifying life that Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given to us. And we have to pay attention to policy, and we have to understand that when we allow Muslims here, when we allow ourselves to be dehumanized as a people, that can directly impact and belittle the lives of Muslims overseas. We have to humanize ourselves to others as well. And we also have to recognize that in this country, not all lives are treated equally, and that means something. That means something. The whole mantra and the whole motto of Black Lives Matter, that means something because it is not equal. And we have to recognize that and we have to fight against that. So whether people are dehumanizing us or we're dehumanizing others, when lives are not given the proper sanctity, that is a call for us to take up. And that's something that we have to remind ourselves of in our personal lives, and we have to remind others of as well, and remind people. You know, subhanAllah, we constantly have to be people's, you know, moral compass. We have to be the people that remind others of values, that remind others of their morality, that remind others of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that sin of murder. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all of the sins that precede murder. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever spilling the blood of anyone else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our families and our ummah from murder and from bloodshed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to allow the shaytan to cause us to be overcome with an anger that would make us irrational. and that would doom us in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to protect our children, to protect our communities, to protect our ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our transgressions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that shall we come upon a time of fitna, that we are not upon those that transgress and that oppress. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, I know that for some of you the khutbah topic seems odd. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it benefits in some capacity. But just recognize at the very least the tools of dehumanization, the tools that make the lives of the Palestinians cheap, that make the lives of Syrians cheap, that make the lives of black people in this country cheap, the tools that make it easy for people to even take the lives of ulama, to even take the lives of righteous people, the tools that actually make a man take the life of his spouse, or make a woman take the life of her husband, or make a woman take the life of her children, or a man take the life of her children, we have to keep ourselves protected from those things and safeguarded from those root causes. And we have to always be a people that are aware. So just as there is the extreme of doing away with the rights of people, we should have ihsan in upholding the rights of people, excellence in upholding the rights of people. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people of ihsan as opposed to a people of ghafla. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujib ad da'awat. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'fu 'anna wa la tu'adhibna. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma innaka 'afuwun kareemun tuhibbul 'afwa fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma ighfir li walidina rabbirhamhuma kama rabbawna sighara. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil المتقين إماما. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم عز.
اقرأ كتاب الله ترق جنانه وتن العظيم الأجر والغفران.